Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, sir. It's the most notorious rogue of Bandit Nation, accompanied by Miss PvP Girl Gigi. So beautiful. Give her a round of applause. Give her a round of applause.
Yes, sir.
And I ain't feeling it, stressing cause I'm tired of lag and even dealing with it, kinda bumming and feeling a little down and out, cause every time we jump on the mob, I get to lagging out, but Gigi is saying,
I'm really wanting you to go,
yo, I'ma suck it up cause Nation is a pro, I told her let me restart and I'll be right back, and she told me,
hurry up Nation, we're starting ASAP,
so I log a restart, then get back on the game, and I make it out to next to go and take that what's his name, but during this patch work, I get a freeze frame, cause everybody is casting their spells, it's kinda lame, everything is skipping and jumping and moving real slow, looking at my health on the top and it's dropping real low. Spamming every key on my keyboard and face roll. PST and GD, cause I gotta let her know. Are you lagging like that?
Are you lagging like that?
Are you lagging like that?
I'm lagging like that.
Are you lagging like that?
Happy Tuesday. It is Tuesday. Tuesday-licious. Tuesday-licious.
Yeah, I told you we'd be better today. Didn't I tell y'all that? So much better today than we were yesterday. I got some sleep. I think I did. I dreamed I was fighting zombies and putting makeup on them. I figured that one out. Remember yesterday I had the lip gloss cannon? I think it got stuck in my psyche somewhere. So I was shooting the zombies, and then I would stop and put makeup on them. Anybody out there want to analyze that dream for me? What does that mean?
I don't know what the hell you've been playing, girl, as a game, but...
Wow. Lovely to be inside my brain. Be afraid. So how you doing, Ginger?
I am epic. I am awesome. Yes, 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 I am.
Something we've not said in a while. No, something we've not said in a while. You're listening to Lunch with Ginger and Corey. And I.
Yay!
I am Madonna.
If you're Madonna, I'm Britney.
I like that. No flashing people, though, Ginger. Don't do that.
Oh, why not? Why is this not pulling up? There we go.
Because... Okay, let me send a hello out to Gumby, who is being real sweet to us. Good morning, Gumby.
Oh, hello, Gumby.
Okay, y'all, where's my sandwiches? Where's my sandwiches?
No, where's my pizza?
I settled for a Subway. You seen that little thing they got with the chicken? Yeah, anyway, we're not here to talk about food. Let me stop. Okay, so, lovely people, lots of good news, lots of interesting news, but I want to point out something that is not directly... have anything to do with us, but we should be attacking him for.
What is this?
Mr. Schwarzenegger, again, I point to you with the whole family values thing. You with your mistress and love child of 10 years of age, please stay out of our games. Mind your own business. Thank you.
A love child?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Dude, I've not heard this gossip. Where are you getting this gossip?
I'm good. I have my sources. All I got to say is I find it funny that a person that was talking about how violent games are and family values has a love child with the housekeeper, mind you, that lived in the housekeeper?
Yes. Oh, my God.
She lived in the house and they have a
kid. You are such a dirty word I can't say on the air right now.
The only reason why I'm bothered by it is the quintessential family values. Thing is, I'm a good Christian and I don't do these types of things, but you're human just like the rest of us. Stop attacking us, saying that, you know, vilifying gamers like we're horrible. According to your voters, you did something way worse than we could ever do. So I personally don't care. I say if you and the housewife and the dog want to have a menage a trois, I say go for it. I'm fine.
Poor dog.
I'm saying, have at it. Just stay out of my game. Stay away from my game, Schwarzenegger. All right.
Yes.
What you got? Good news, Ginger. What you got for us?
I've actually got some awesome news. Yes, yes. Some of y'all may not find this awesome. And for y'all, well, y'all can just go stick it. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com this morning. same-sex romance for all in Mass Effect 3, says BioWare. Uh-huh. If you want a man-on-man or woman-on-woman action in the next Mass Effect game, you'll be happy to hear that BioWare has made your wish its command. According to a tweet from executive producer Casey Hudson, Jane and John Shepard will support a wider array of romantic options. Adding that the writing team is handling love interests of existing characters with sophistication and will do their best to preserve continuity from his Twitter feed. Happy to confirm that ME3 supports wider options for love interests, including same-sex for male and female characters. For male and female characters, reactive to how you interact with them in-game. Hudson also revealed love interests won't all necessarily be permanent squad members. Fans can look forward to loves across the universe, it would seem.
Ooh. Like Dragon Age.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. On a related note, they say the idea of a gay robot sidekick for Duke and Duke Nukem Forever has been shut down for now.
Oh, come on.
Just for now. In a recent article featuring comments from Gearbox president Randy Pitchford, Eurogamer was told that the studio has been toying with the idea of teaming up with Salty Protagonist with a robot. With a diametrically opposed sexual orientation. Pitchford said that the concept was to explore how Duke would relate to a peer that might have a different sexual orientation. Of course, we have a pretty good idea how Duke would react to the character, and chances are, the writer says this is his personal opinion, Gearbox felt like showing such interactions might come off as homophobic. Still, it is interesting that Gearbox is exploring some unique ideas, and Pitchford hints that such a concept might appear in future titles in the series.
Well,
that is awesome.
I'm about to make a huge announcement. I'm also going to put it up on Twitter here for a second. So you heard about Ubisoft. We told you a couple of weeks ago they were planning to get into the movie-making business. And we have a list of those movies. Am I talking? Am I muted? Hello? Hello, is this thing on? Hello.
Oh, my God. No, I'm muted. I'm sitting here. Yeah, you're talking.
All right. So I've got
these people.
Yes, I have got those movies, the first few. So Ubisoft is saying they're going to create 3D movies based on parent companies. Sit down, breathe, take a deep breath. Assassin's Creed, Splinter Cell, and in the Ghost Recon franchises. The Paris-based film and television division of called it's going to be called Ubisoft Motion Pictures was first revealed, of course, earlier this month. We told you about it, and they had no specific plans at the time for any projects. Variety, who has nothing to do with gaming, Ubisoft, can we get the stuff first? This is our house. You know how Hollywood is. But Variety also broke the original story as well, and they compared Splinter Cell to a drama in the vein of The Bourne Identity. And Ghost Recon was going to be a tech-driven war actioner set in the near future. Currently, Assassin's Creed is Ubisoft's most successful video game franchise, although its mix of science fiction and historical elements may make it the most difficult to adapt and the most expensive. I would think that one was the easiest one and the most unique one. I haven't seen a movie that's kind of played with that storyline. Not to give it away for people who've never played. In addition, the company is also developing a CGI 3D cartoon series based on Raving Rabbids.
Raving Rabbids?
Yes. Comprising 78 episodes of 7 minutes each. Ubisoft is reportedly in advanced negotiations with a French TV broadcaster and a U.S. TV network, most likely Fox. If anybody's going to grab it, one of those Fox or those Fox cable ones, you know, FX or something.
Yeah.
They're saying our strategy is not to diversify, but to bolster the appeal of our franchises. That's why we want to make sure our films will reflect the brands accurately and consolidate our fan base while expanding beyond games' primary target audience. This is from the head of marketing and international sales, Jean Delvier. I think I said that almost perfect. He says
That was actually kind of hot.
Merci beaucoup. Okay, so he says, we want to keep our ownership, return control over the film content, and we're open to work with studios on the development of our projects and eventually collaborate on the pre-casting, pre-budget, and script. This is also from Jean-Julien Baronet. Although De Rivière's that was Spanish. I said that Spanish at the time. Indicated that scripts would be ready by the end of the year, and that U.S. studios and screenwriters had shown great interest. No creatives have so far been announced in any other projects. There are already people who are naming who they want to be Sam Fisher. I put in my vote years ago, and I'm sure the ladies will agree. You girls out there that watch Desperate Housewives, the one that plays Susan Delfino's husband, Mike Delfino, and if you don't know who that is, go over to imdb.com and look at him and look at his clips. That man, since Michael Ironside, who does the voice of Sam Fisher, is way too old, is absolutely perfect. He looks like the character. He has the whole raspy voice thing. He's an older guy, and he is hot. Have you seen the guy without his shirt? Oh, my God. Anyway.
I have not, but now you make me want to go over there and check that out.
I want to say his name is James Denton, his real name, but if not, this is how you find him. Go to IMDb, type in Desperate Housewives, and look for the character Mike Delfino. That's Sam Fisher. Somebody else is saying Anton Fuqua, but I say hell no. I'm sorry, they're saying for it to direct. I apologize. I was like, uh-oh. They're also suggesting Francis Ford Coppola direct Assassin's Creed. That might be interesting.
That might be. I don't know. We've seen games be turned into movies and whatnot before, and most of them usually aren't that good.
Well, I think that has a lot to do with the fact that the companies themselves are not actually involved in making it. It's very difficult for Hollywood to understand because they don't play the games.
This is true.
So they don't understand the appeal of why we love it. You think of a movie like Mortal Kombat. I was not a huge fan of the games, but I loved the original Mortal Kombat movie. And I remember being in the movie theater and people were going nuts because it had a decent story, but they threw in all those things that we liked. When Liu Kang jumped up and started kicking the guy, there was like a riot in the theater because that was from the video game. You know, we wanted to see him do that and make it not look so, so cheesy. It worked perfect.
Yeah.
So if you know how to do it, hopefully Ubisoft, please don't, you know, you already gave me a bad Splinter Cell game. Please give me a good movie and get me a good actor that's, you know, when he puts on that tight bodysuit that Sam wears. somebody had to just, anyway.
hot, that's so hot.
Either that or it needs to be animated and we need to have Michael Ironside just do the voice. I could drool a little bit over a pretend 3D character. I do anyway. We play Second Life, so it's all good to us. Woo! Okay, moving along. Ginger, what you got?
I've got Pocky Ninjas. Yeah, that's what I got. Wow.
Look at those freaking Pocky Ninjas.
Yeah, did you see the screenshots? The rest of y'all, GameAndMatrix.com, go now. The screenshots for the, or screenshots, the pictures that they sent with this was just too cute.
Right?
All right, Chapter 2, Revenge of Aizen launched. Pocky Ninja packed with players after major update, more characters escape. More characters have broken free from Naruto Bleach-inspired MMORPG Pocky Ninja, escaping into the real world to cause mischief. Publisher InGames confirms the launch of Chapter 2 Revenge of Aizen, and returning veteran incentives are to blame. Free-to-play, we already said that. The wave of new content, including extra levels in Las Noches, new areas, new ninja skills, and an improved pet system has prompted eager players to flood the servers to experience the new action. What's more, returning veteran players are being rewarded with a bounty of in-game gifts through the Welcome Back Trilogy for Veterans scheme, adding incentive to return to their Pocky Ninja accounts. All characters created after March 25th that reached level 15 but have been inactive between April 25th and May 5th are eligible for free rewards. The rewards are explained in more detail at ninja.game321.com. It's all proven so popular that the mini Naruto and company didn't approve of the invasion, causing them to break free from the game servers again to give us big people a taste of our own medicine. They must have forgotten how small they are. It started out as a feisty encounter with the pocket-sized characters asserting their dominance through acts of biting, which the pictures for that are adorable. It feels like a slightly sharper hamster. And a sweet weightlifting, Pocky Ninjas can bench up to 2 Charmellos at once. However, InGames remembered the previous breakout and figured some tasty treats would help remove the problem, so they pretended to host a birthday party as a distraction. Imagine how excited you'd be if all your favorite foods were 100 times bigger than you'd ever seen them.
Sorry.
Any ninja worth his weight in swords can't resist a tasty treat. For in-games, it was simply a case of leaving a few birthday treats around the office and then bundling the cute escapees over before dragging them into the game. The difference in size astounded the... The difference in size astounded the ill-prepared characters of Pocky Ninja. A simple chicken leg bone was enough to strike fear into one plucky martial artist, while a nearly full-size mascot was enough to distract another. Even Naruto lacked the presence of mind to resist the distractions. Publisher InGames were quick to round up the mischievous bunch and banish them back to the game servers, forbidding them to ever enter our world again. Apparently, the ninjas could only reply with humph when told to grow up. With the Pocky Ninja characters back in the game world, all is well again for now. But InGames needs your help. There's no telling when they could escape again. The publishers are encouraging gamers to play browser-based brawler Pocky Ninja for free, hoping you'll join them in battle and kick some ninja ass of your very own. The Chapter 2 Revenge of Aizen update is here. You can sign up and play at Pocky Ninja now, which again is Pocky, P-O-C-K-I-E, ninja.com.
Wow.
Oh my god, that is epic! See, guys, this is the kind of press release I want to read. The rest of you people out there who are sending me these boring ones that I fall asleep reading, please
saying how very exciting that it is.
Yes, and people want to play your game. I want to go play this.
Well, I found one that I actually want to play just now. And we don't have a 3DS, so this will make me get it. You know I love me some simulations. Oh, my God. And I think I'm having an 80s thing going on. All right. Hello out there, not BBC News 24. Just send us a Twitter. I can't say that on the air. We'll tell you later. I'll ask Ginger. We'll tell you later. Okay, so there's an announcement of a Nintendo DSiWare. Actually, I guess I probably could play. I think the DS and DSiWare works on the original DS. They've announced a game called Valet Parking 1989. Yes.
Really?
Yes. Wow. Basically, you get to relive the undeniable coolness of the 80s to the sound of Hollywood-style screeching tires. Keep patients and paired celebrities happy while frantically trying to navigate crowded parking lots. Don't ask me why I want to play this. I don't know. Valet Parking 1989 combines fun driving with the humor and style of the late 80s. Park and deliver cars as fast as possible in this time management puzzle. The setting is in neon-lit California, where glamorous celebrities let you park their radical sports cars in luxurious limousines. Play the movie-like story mode to unlock the endless play levels. Earn money to buy a cool car and drive to the beach in style. Don't let the VIP guests wait any longer. Ignite the dream. Put the pedal to the metal. See, they make this kind of stuff for me. People like me is who they make these games for. We also have a YouTube video up if you want to take a look at it. Yeah, it is a DSi game, but I am looking at the clothes, and I do have some screenshots I'm putting up for you. This girl here with the bustier and the tiered ruffles, that is so 80s. I got to play this just to look at the clothes. I got to. The hairstyles. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Ginger, I know. Stop rolling the eyes. I got to play it. What can I say? You don't want to play it? Doesn't sound interesting to you? Ginger, are you muted?
Oh, my God. I was like, dude, if I roll my eyes any harder, they're going to fall out of my head. I was, too. I was just laughing and thinking, oh, my God, Corey, you are so...
I know.
You do. You go for these games. You love these kinds of games. I'm like, really?
I do. I do.
Wow.
You know what I think as far as being these games is these are jobs I would never, ever do for real. I'm going to tell you now. I would never, like the Diner Dash, I would never work in a restaurant serving plates.
No.
But it's fun to pretend is the whole point of gaming. It's fun. I get to see what it's like without coming home with grease all over me and things like that. Because I think I worked one fast food job in my life, and I said, this will be the first and the last. That was when I was 17 years old.
I was 16. My parents handed me a car that didn't run, and they were like, here, get a job.
Mm-hmm. You say that all you won't get a job. Yeah, I got a job, but I won't be working here. The next job I had was a nice cushy office job where I got to dress up and wear my heels and be in the nice air conditioning, and I didn't have people yelling at me, where's my fries? So, no. No. That was not.
And I worked at Dairy Queen for like 3 months. I was like, nope, I'm done. I got me a job at a pharmacy. See you guys.
See? That's what you need to do out there, our younger listeners. You don't want to stay at those jobs. Get out quickly. Get out.
The sooner you get out, the better.
Mm-hmm. Don't let them get you, because they'll get you.
All right. So we've got some more PSN Ocalypse, looks like.
Uh-oh.
Well, it's kind of the ending to it. Sony reveals the Welcome Back Appreciation Program details. Sony announced via its PlayStation blog details on the games it will offer for free as part of its Welcome Back Appreciation Program. North American PlayStation Network users will get to choose two games from a list of five games, which Sony claims are BD compatible. They are Dead Nation, Infamous, Little Big Planet, Super Stardust HD, Wipeout HD, plus Fury. These games will be available for 30 days to download. After the return of the PlayStation Store, which Sony plans to relaunch soon, PSP owners with a PSN account can download two games from a choice of four, which will also be available for 30 days after the relaunch of the PlayStation Store. They are Little Big Planet PSP, Mod Nation Racers, Pursuit Force, Killzone Liberation. Sony also said that it will offer a number of On Us movies over the weekend. Those titles will be announced soon. Subscribers to various services on PSN will get additional time, and all PSN users will get 30 days of PlayStation Plus. You can read the whole thing over at blog.us.playstation.com. It should be noted that when your PlayStation Plus subscription runs out, you lose access to anything you have downloaded or purchased.
That's pretty much the case with everything.
Yeah.
All righty then. Are we ready for the next wave?
Next wave?
Yes.
Wave of what?
Well, it seems Disney wants to cash in on the SEAL Team 6. This is from our friends over at GamePolitics.com. According to a Forbes
report.
Yes, Disney. Disney's, yeah, they're trying to worry me. They're turning to the dark side.
Yeah, they are.
Before they were kind of what you call, if you look, old school RGB people, RPG people will get this, chaotic neutral with Disney. According to Forbes report, Disney has applied for the trademark SEAL Team 6, the military unit responsible for the death of the notorious terrorist Osama bin Laden. A day after the raid, which took place May 3rd in Pakistan, Disney applied for a trio of patents with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office related to entertainment and education services, toys, games, and Christmas stockings, ornaments, and snow globes. Yes, I said snow globes. Disney has not publicly commented on the outed patents. This isn't the first time a company's tried to cash in on an odd catchphrase or popular term. Sony tried once upon a time to patent the popular George W. Bush phrase, shock and awe, referring to the blistering attack on Iraq during the opening of the Iraq War. The company, which later abandoned the patent, had planned to use it for a video game. Disney, tacky.
Snow globes. I had to go back and read that. I was like, did she really say snow globes?
I said snow globes. Christmas stockings, ornaments, and snow
globes. For the SEAL Team 6.
I'm all for honoring our guys and gals in the military. You all know that. I'm the person
uh-huh.
who cries when I see them in the store and want to hug them. But this is tacky.
This is tacky. And coming from somebody who's family member of a military member, I think this is incredibly tacky.
Say tacky, tacky, tacky. If you want to do something nice, Disney, if you want to be connected with the SEAL Team 6, why don't you give them a free lifetime membership to Disneyland or something, or free for their whole family for forever?
Part of the deal, you'll never find out who these people were.
Well, we don't have to know. They get a pass, and it can look like any other pass, and that's it. But I say free for life, not just for life, but forever. Their families, their grandkids, they never have to pay to get in, ever.
I would rather than see. I'd rather see them do some kind of big donation to any one of these healthcare societies that are set up for men and women that are coming back overseas with PTSD.
That's also a good idea.
That's what I would rather see.
I agree.
This, they're just trying to cash in on something that they had nothing to do with.
That's exactly my point. That's why I said find something else to do. Find something.
You're trying to make money. You're trying to piggyback on something that they did as a job. It was honorable. It was crazy. They could have died. Their families could have lost them. And you're trying to cash in on that. And sure, you may think, oh, this is all G.I. Joe. No, this is not G.I. Joe. This is real life. This is their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just trying to piggyback off of it.
And I'm betting that it was not an easy job. They didn't sit there and go, yay, this is going to be fun. I get to shoot Bin Laden, take in somebody's life.
No.
Not easy. I don't care who it is.
No.
Okay.
Off our soapbox. Is it my turn?
Yes, off the soapbox.
All right, it is my turn. Yay! Where'd my story go? There we go. Meet the Magician class from Eden Eternal. All right. Area Games, a leading global publisher of free-to-play online games, has released an enlightening new class spotlight video for Eden Eternal. It's the latest anime-style MMORPG title. Eden Eternal begins closed beta on June 2nd. Eden Eternal boasts rich, colorful 3D graphics, a plethora of formidable monsters, and an unforgettably immersive questing experience. Players are tasked with restoring peace to the troubled citizens of the world as part of a mysterious new race capable of powerful might and magic. One of Eden Eternal's most anticipated features is the innovative class switching system. Unlike nearly all MMOs currently on the market, Eden Eternal allows players to easily swap between up to 15 unique classes, 12 available during the beta. Choose from the Magician and Warrior classes at character creation. Once in game, level up to unlock the rest. Glimpse Eden Eternal's robust monsters and rich scenery as you watch a brief introduction to the magic to the Magician's buffs and attacks. That actually kind of sounds like Rift had that. Facts about the Magician. Magic DPS. The Magician is the first class in the Magic DPS branch. Magicians deal elemental damage, cast powerful buffs, teleport your party to safety, and can become invisible. Class and branch skills. Choose from the Magician's 8 class-specific skills or take advantage of the 5 branch skills available to all Magic DPS classes. What weapons can they use? Wield a staff for an attack bonus. Earn access to more powerful staffs as you level up. The Magician is one of only a few classes to share a preferred weapon. The Shaman class, part of the Heals branch, also receives an attack bonus when equipped with a staff. Learn details about every class and more and sign up for a chance to receive an invitation to the closed beta of... at Eden Eternal's official website, edeneternal.areagames.com. And you can head over to GamingAtrix.com. I put up several screenshots of this Magician class, and they are so cute.
Go.
Well.
Here's an interesting little tidbit. Brink, you know that game we don't like too much? Well, apparently it's kicking the booty of the Lego Pirates in the UK on the charts.
That doesn't really surprise me, but okay.
Yeah, well, Splash Damage's new first-person shooter, Brink, has defied a mixed critical response. This is from our friends at GamesIndustry.biz, to debut at number 1 in the UK multi-format charts, ahead of a fellow new entry, LEGO Pirates of the Caribbean. Fully 69% of the Brink purchases were on the Xbox 360, with 23% being, yes, on the PlayStation 3, a surprising breakdown given the heavy online focus of the game while PlayStation Network was still down. You rock, Sony. Go Sony. LEGO Pirates of the Caribbean also has a mixed response from critics, becoming one of the least well-received in the franchise. It is also one of the three LEGO games in the top 20 this week, with LEGO Star Wars 3 at number 7 and LEGO Harry Potter years 1 through 4 at number 20. Wow, those are still in the charts. The breakdown of the formats were relatively even, with the Xbox 360 on 37%, PlayStation 3 on 24%, Wii on 23%, Nintendo DS on 10%. Both Brink and LEGO Pirates of the Caribbean are from UK developers. But the other new entry of the week hails from Phoenix, Arizona. That's right, THQ Digital Studio Phoenix, also called Rainbow Studios, was responsible for MXV's ATV Alive at number 10, THQ's first attempt to push a mid-priced retail product supported by higher than normal levels of downloadable content and less content on disc. Again, the heavy online focus led to the Xbox 360 version easily outselling PlayStation 3 at 66%. The franchise is not normally a strong performer in the UK, and the top 10 debut is likely to be seen as a promising start by publisher THQ. Go, guys, go.
That is awesome. Way to go. All right. Okay, it is my go again, and I have just totally misplaced my story. There we go. Sorry. Are you still there?
That was me.
Okay. I was like, what's going on? All right, we've got a little bit more Sony news. We talked a little bit in depth, last week and the week before, about these developers who were suffering with the whole Sony outage. Sony released a letter to them. They say, we owe a great deal to valued partners. Sony has sent out another letter to developers thanking its developers and publisher partners for their patience and to give them a vote of confidence, saying that they owed them a great deal. The letter, which was published by Industry Gamers, was penned by Rob Dyer, Sony's SVP of Publisher Relations. While there are plenty of flowery words in the letter, Sony does not detail how or if it will compensate its PSN publishing partners who have lost a lot of money in 3 weeks the PS3's commerce channel and online multiplayer services went offline. All right, so what does the letter say? It says, "Dear partner, I am pleased to report we have begun the phased restoration of services on the PlayStation Network and Curiosity. In North America and most other regions of the world, customers now have full access to online gameplay across PS3 and PSP, downloaded movies from PlayStation Network video delivery service on PS3, PSP, and MediaGo, unexpired movie rentals through video on demand powered by Curiosity, PlayStation Home, and finally, chat functionality. We are working to resume the remainder of our services, including PlayStation Store and purchasing features for Curiosity as soon as possible. Also, please note, as one of our security upgrades, PSP users will be required to change their PSN and Curiosity account passwords upon login. The new passwords can only be changed on the PS3 that initiated original account activation or through validated email confirmation. As you know, since the cyber attack against Sony networks that was first detected in late April, we have made extensive upgrades to our data security systems. In addition, we are offering all customers an opportunity to enroll for free in identity theft protection programs, such as cyber monitoring and insurance in North America and other countries where such programs exist. To show our sincere gratitude for our customers, patience, and loyalty, we are offering them a welcome back package of game and media content and services. The details of this program will be formally announced shortly, with information also available on PlayStation regional websites for North America and other territories. We are confident the Welcome Back package will help customers get back to using the PlayStation Network and Curiosity services they have missed over the last few weeks. Most importantly, we would like to say thank you. We know we owe a great deal to valued partners like you for your patience and support during this difficult time. With your continued partnership, PSN will move forward stronger, smarter, and better than ever. I encourage you to contact me if you have any additional questions. Very truly yours, Rob Dyer, SVP, Publisher Relations."
Yeah, he says contact him, but when we call, he always hides.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. Rob, why are you hiding? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
We're just girls. I know
afraid.
So many of you are scared of the boobs, but come on.
I think it's too early in the morning for boobs.
Is it too early in the morning for boobs? It's never too early in the morning for boobs. Come on.
Oh, God. We lost some servers in China with that one. Okay.
See you, China. You can go play your little communist console that's coming out.
Sure. Be nice.
It's true.
All right. So you lovely people out there, I wanted to make sure I announced this during the live portion. You people out there that love you some Duke Nukem, well, get yourselves ready. The playable demo is going to be available June 3rd, exclusively for members of the First Access Club. What you have to do, of course, is pre-order today to ensure that you're among the first to experience this must-have moment in video game history. 2K Games and Gearbox Software are overly excited, wow, that one's new, to announce the eager Duke Nukem First Access Club. Members will be the first to properly stimulate their joysticks while playing the demo of the highly anticipated Duke Nukem Forever, beginning June 3rd this year. Yes, this year. Over 15 years in the making, Duke Nukem Forever's historical arrival will happen on June 10th, 2011, internationally, and June 14, 2011 in North America on Xbox 360 and the PlayStation, and also on PC. Gamers can experience this watershed moment and become a part of history by playing one of the most anticipated games of all time. I have to agree there. The big question everyone is asking is, where were you the first time you played Duke Nukem Forever? And the first way to play the only way to play the game before launch is to be a member of the First Access Club. Strictly for the biggest Duke Nukem fans, the First Access Club grants members access to highly volatile, eye-popping content, including never-before-seen materials, top-secret information, and for-your-eyes-only art concepts. There are several ways fans can join the ultra-exclusive First Access Club, including pre-ordering the game from select retailers and by purchasing the Borderlands Game of the Year edition on 360, PS3, and Windows. True Duke Nukem diehard fans will want to get their hands on the Duke Nukem Forever Balls of Steel edition.
Balls of deal. So
this package is spilling over the top with legendary content that is not to be missed by those who want the ultimate experience at this historic arrival. Premium items such as Epic Duke Nukem Bust, and Epic Duke Nukem Bust, and an art book that chronicles the development of Duke Nukem Forever, flank a package that is overflowing with content. Apologizing to no one, Duke Nukem Forever is a high-octane video game equivalent of a Hollywood summer blockbuster. Starring the legendary Lady Killer and Alien Slayer, Duke Nukem Forever brings gamers back to a blastastic, that's going to be my new word, a blastastic time when games are filled with the head-popping, bone-rattling action, brazenly crude humor, impossibly statuesque women, thank you for saying that, dying for affection, and catchy one-liners meant to make you laugh out loud and blush. In the interim, Duke Nukem fans can pay their respects to the king by visiting the official Duke Nukem Forever website, and yes, it is DukeNukemForever.com. It's loud, it's lewd, and it's Duke.
It is Duke.
All right, we will have some links for you up, so you'll be able to do. If you can't remember, like some of you can't, when it's going to happen, it will be up on our website. I'm going to see if we can get a copy of this. Blaster's already been on me every couple of seconds. Get me the Nukem. Get it for me. Get it. I'm working on it, Blaster. I'm working on it.
Blaster. All right. I guess it's my turn. FCC commissioner turned lobbyist defends Comcast NBC job. Oh, yes. Yes, more hypocrisy. Mm. Caught with her proverbial pants down, former FCC commissioner and soon-to-be Washington, D.C. lobbyist for Comcast NBC, Meredith Atwell-Baker issued a statement regarding her new job, the approval of the Comcast NBC merger, and the appearance of taking a job at the company has caused her. I can't say the word. The Republican commissioner issued the statement on Friday after several publications, including the New York Times, called into question her role in the merger and taking a job with the same company a mere 4 months after her vote. Yeah, you can actually see the whole statement over at transition.fcc.gov /daily releases. She says, not once in my entire tenure as a commissioner had anyone at Comcast or NBC Universal approached me about potential employment. When this opportunity became available in mid-April, I made a personal decision that I wanted to give it serious consideration. Therefore, I immediately sought counsel from the general counsel of the FCC and recused myself on April 18th from any matters involving Comcast or NBC Universal. I have not only complied with the legal and ethical laws, but I have also gone further. I have not participated or voted any item, not just those related to Comcast or NBC Universal, since entering discussions about an offer or of potential employment. Because of this, I plan to depart the commission as soon as I am able to ensure an orderly wind down of my office. I will, of course, comply with all government ethics and Obama pledge restrictions going forward. The writer goes on to say, no doubt her statement does little to convince those that believe she used her position to help a friend who in turn helped her with a fancy new job. You know what? I think that person might be right.
I think they're right, too. Oh, disgusting
ethical.
Lady.
Yeah, you're saying, oh, this I followed all ethical boundaries. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You're such a liar.
Let me slip into my grandmother's dialect for a moment. You is a liar.
True story.
That's what you mean, a liar. Hi, Grandma. I'm a good cut. Yes, my grandma listened to the show.
Oh, that's awesome.
My grandma is a gamer once removed. She won't play, but she'll watch. I did tell you that, right? My grandmother loves watching me play zombie games. I don't know what it is about.
No, I didn't know that. That's hilarious.
Yeah, she would have loved that. If you give her some popcorn, she will sit and watch it like a movie, and she will yell out, don't open that door. Girl, don't open that door.
Oh, you opened up the door. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Don't open that door. Don't open the... Oh, Ginger. I can hear the music. Don't open the door. Gotta open up the door.
Oh, yeah. We were playing Left 4 Dead. See, therein lies the problem of playing with somebody who loves the development side. I pick up on all that stuff. If you're ever lost playing a game, I will tell you that people out there playing multiplayer with us, if you're ever lost somewhere, I always know which way to go because I pick up on the cues. It's always where the monsters are. You're lost. Whatever direction they're coming from after you've been standing there lost for a minute, that's where you're supposed to go. That's how they usher you. Used to be they did lighting, and they also have musical cues. You just got to pay attention. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, that was hilarious. Is that witch walking? Is that witch walking?
Anyway, I can't get over that. I'm sorry. I've never seen her walking before. She's usually sitting and rocking in one place and crying.
I've never seen her sitting. I've always seen her standing or walking.
See, that scared me. And then when Ginger, you had to aggravate the. Anyway, let me tell you about our lovely friends over at Gamers for Giving. We've had them on the show before every once in a while. We'll probably have them pop in on the morning news one day, give a little short blurb. Pardon me. Gamers for Giving is having their annual charity, of course, going to take place on June the 18th at the EMU Student Center. There's about 5 weeks left to go into the fourth annual. This is, yes, the fourth year that they're in it. Kicks off again at Eastern Michigan University.
Did you call it the EMUs?
Well, it is EMU Student Center, but it's stands for Eastern Michigan University Student Center in Ypsilanti, Michigan. I hope I said that right. I never say that right. Of course, again, hosted by Gamers Outreach. Hey there, Zach. This is a one-day tournament. Gives players, hardcore players, a chance to take part. I need y'all to change that definition. To take place at an event that directly benefits charity. The proceeds from the tournament go to funding various charitable efforts. The 2011 event takes place on Saturday, June 18th at the Eastern Michigan University Student Center. This year's activities include a 2-versus-2 Halo Reach tournament, a 4-versus-4 Call of Duty Black Ops tournament played on the 360, of course, and a 1-versus-1 StarCraft II tournament, Bring Your Own Computer, and a 100-person console LAN. Doors open at 10 a.m., and the event will run until about 10 p.m. Registration for Gamers for Giving is now open at the event's official website, which is gamersforgiving.org. If you can't make the date, you can still show your generosity by making a donation. And if you want to see some of the cool stuff that they do, if you look through our Facebook page or just look around and type in PAX 2008, my name, you'll see what they made for PAX to give away, which was a Hummer that was an Xbox.
That was awesome. That was so, so awesome.
Girl, they are lucky that they put that, they locked that thing up when they went to sleep, and I wasn't leaving because I'm telling you, I was taking it with me. It was going with me.
I remember encouraging you to take it.
take it and bring it back. Take it and bring it back.
Yes. Would hope you have it.
Yes. It is time for us to break. I was about to hit a Duke Nukem sound effect, but that might not be a good idea during the day. definitely not. Well, I can do this one.
You're an inspiration for birth control.
yes.
I did.
I used that line earlier.
Yes. I'm on mind my own business. Okay, time for us to take a break.
I just had some new balls trying to, like, come on me.
Oh, God.
Yeah, off me.
You be tasty.
I said that, too. I mean, I know I'd be tasty, but come off me.
Remember, you can find this week on our website, www.radio.com. If you love us, stay tuned. Drop by, leave us some comments. Off Ginger, not me. Stop the Ginger and not the Glory.
Mm-hmm. You stalk me. I'm scared. Bring it.
Yeah, she's going to talk bad about you on the air. You.
I will, too.
but you earned it. You would have earned it. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're back. See, that was a very quick break. We're still kind of live, sort of, kind of. But we're going to cut off on you in about 1 minute.
Are so, Ginger. I got Gotham City News.
Well, tell them now. Start it off. Maybe they can hear it before you go.
Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment announces Gotham City Impostors.
Ooh.
Critically acclaimed Monolith Productions shatters first-person shooter model with over-the-top gameplay where players can become personalized versions of the Bats and the Jokers. Warner Brothers Entertainment Interactive and DC Entertainment Today announced Gotham City Impostors, an original download-only first-person shooter where players battle for control of an unhinged Gotham City overrun by imposters, inspired by the DC Comics characters Batman and the Joker. Yeah, that sounds kind of cool. Developed by Monolith Productions, the game will be available in the Xbox Live Marketplace for the Xbox 360 video game, for the Xbox and the Windows PC and the PlayStation. All right. Y'all don't have to write out the whole names of those systems, people, really. Anyways, Samantha Ryan. Hey, Samantha. Senior Vice President in Production and Development of Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment says, Gotham City Impostors blows apart expectations for superhero games with an exaggerated take on first-person shooters set in a part of the DC Universe players have never seen before. Monolith is creating a game that turns Gotham City upside down, and we think fans are going to have a blast with this creative twist on multiplayer heroism and anti-heroism as they play up the classic rivalry between Batman and the Joker. Gotham City Impostors is a multiplayer game unlike any other, giving players the opportunity to rebel against conformity as they customize their own characters, posing as amateur vigilantes or villains. Gamers will create their very own Bats and Jokers characters using unprecedented customization options, including insane costumes, homebrewed gadgets, and a wide range of traditional and imagined weapons. The game will feature maps and modes inspired by DC Comics' Batman license. Fans can visit GothamCityImpostors.com for more information and to sign up to receive updates regarding the game. I actually uploaded the lineup shot on thegameandatrix.com, so head over there and check that out if you want to see it.
All right. Well, two things. I got my hot little hands on a copy of the Dead Island, latest Dead Island trailer, so you can check that out on our front page. Yay!
Yay!
If I hadn't just, we did something weird with it. Yeah, but it'll be there. I thought you'd get there. Thank God. Okay, and it is rated PEGI 18, people. Mind your P's and Q's. The other thing is I wanted to share with you an interesting little tidbit that we just got from our friends at Engadget, if you heard me receive the email. Yay. There's something new coming on the horizon. Pay TV. Pay TV is supposed to be coming to all gaming consoles. Basically, I'm going to have to paraphrase this because they just kind of blurb. Yeah. Breaking news. Here's what happened, Corey. Okay, so it looks like this particular companies like Google and Sony are fighting for what would potentially let people directly access cable or satellite TV streams without the box. One of the media companies that's trying to convince the FCC that the new AllVid replacement for cable card is unnecessary. Fox was the one who recently called the FCC and informed it of the negotiations with a pay TV service that wanted to license channels and video on demand for streaming to video game consoles. Now, there's even a little bit of controversy surrounding this, and I haven't tried this app yet. I was thinking about giving it a go sometime this week. Time Warner Cable has an iPad app that does just this thing already. The filing suggests that there's plenty of innovation going on and that the availability of the content for consumer electronics devices is already enough. Of course, this is still pending any regulatory decisions, and they can only wonder which consoles or providers will be involved. Of course, we know probably Time Warner, Cablevision, Comcast are all going to be in the running. And I did not know this. AT&T brought UVerse to the Xbox here in the U.S. last fall. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
I didn't either. I would have dumped my cable box a long time ago, and it might just be going today. Sorry, Comcast. Because that's all I needed was, man, that is excellent news. Couldn't come quick enough. All right. But all these are just rumors as of right now. I do believe they have given me a copy of the PDF from the FCC, so if I can get that up for you, to make sure we're not going to get in trouble, I will post that up. You can check it out. That is awesome sauce. I'm so dumping my cable if I can watch it on my Xbox. Oh, yeah, I do believe I can put this up. This is from a law firm. It doesn't say anything that's locked down. Yeah, we'll share this. Ginger is harassing me via Twitter and is on the podcast with me. How y'all like that?
I would never do such a thing. No.
How do you like that? Okay, Ginger, fine then. Be that way.
All right. I guess it's my turn again.
Mm-hmm. Mean girl.
A mean girl. I'm not mean. You always say I'm so sweet. Natsumi said so with the next chapter in the popular Rune Factory series later this year. Natsumi Incorporation, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, I don't care. Rune Factory, Tides of Destiny is the first game in the Rune Factory series to come to the PlayStation 3. Rune Factory combines the addictive and rewarding gameplay of Harvest Moon with the thrill and pacing of an action RPG, providing RPG lovers and Harvest Moon fans with an exciting combination of both worlds. Hiro Makiwa, president and CEO of Natsumi, says, "We know our loyal fans have been patiently awaiting news of the North American release for Rune Factory Tides of Destiny, so we are thrilled to announce that the latest entry in the fan-favorite series is on its way. Better still, this entry is coming to both the Wii and the PlayStation 3. Featuring a vast region to explore, a wonderful cast of characters, and a huge variety of activities to enjoy, Rune Factory Tides of Destiny is sure to make waves." Alright, so Aiden and Sanja, two lifelong friends, live a tranquil life on Finneth Island until they're struck by a mysterious curse. They awaken to find both of their souls are now trapped in the same body. On top of this unusual calamity, the Finneth they knew is gone, replaced by a strange island populated with unfamiliar faces. Only by exploring this new world will they be able to solve the mystery of this curse and save their beloved island. During the course of their journey, Aiden and Sanja will be aided by a colorful cast of characters, as well as take command of the towering golem, Gimmer. Using their newfound giant friend, they'll cross vast seas, discover hidden islands and dungeons packed with riches, and battle fearsome monsters of the deep. Rune Factory Tides of Destiny will make its first public appearance at next month's E3 in Los Angeles and will ship to retailers later this year. For more information on Rune Factory Tides of Destiny for the PlayStation 3 and Nintendo Wii, you can visit Natsumi.com. So that sounds kind of, I don't know. I guess I'll have to see. I don't know if I really like that, but I did put, I think I just put up the game's logo over on GameNHX.com. They didn't really give me much to put up, so I'm not too sure what I think about this.
I'm speechless.
apparently.
I am very...
Can you grab another one? Because I got another one.
No. I'm just kind of speechless. Yeah, sometimes that happens. Sometimes I don't have something to say. Yeah, like I just talk all the time. I just never shut up. I'm just constantly going, speaking.
Girl, yeah. I've played games with you. I know. And we've sat here for hours and just BS over nothing.
Yeah, I drive I drive these people crazy.
Oh, no.
Still don't know.
Love her.
They say that when I'm talking to them. I heard them talking the other night. They were talking bad about me, y'all. I'm telling you.
Are we not?
No, they're talking bad about me to my face. They don't do my face. And I appreciate that. Okay, so Sony is basically, we did get to email them yesterday regarding this, but apparently they beat us to the punch. They're saying the details as far as the ID protection scheme and the PSN emails are going out, but they've been delayed. They've said they're going to basically offer. Did you already talk about this?
Yes. Yes, I did.
The Sony ID protection?
I've already talked about the ID protection, yes.
So we did the letters and all the stuff, the personal information, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. Okay, never mind then. I'm moving along. Mm-hmm. I'm crazy.
Moving along.
I thought that was sounding familiar. Well, you'll be happy to hear this.
What?
PopCap has signed an exclusive deal with Amazon. Did we talk about this? I know we've mentioned that PopCap. A lot's been going on at PopCap.
Yeah, a lot's been going on. I'm not sure if I know about this one.
And I love them. That Lemonade game they had, man. That was the first downloadable game I ever bought, was their Lemonade Stand, whatever game.
No, Corey. No.
I'm serious. Very first one I bought. The second one was Anarchy Online, but this was the first downloadable game I ever bought from PopCap. Peggle developer PopCap Games, of course, has signed a new agreement with Amazon, which will see Android releases gaining a two-week period of exclusivity on the Amazon App Store. I didn't even know they had an App Store. Chuzzle is currently available from today and will be exclusive to the App Store, their App Store only, until May the 30th. The next title to be released will be Plants vs. Zombies.
Plants vs. Zombies! Yay!
which will be later this month, which will also remain exclusive to Amazon for a period of 2 weeks. As an additional promotion, both games will be free to download for the first 24 hours. Man, I need some Android phone now. After which they'll be available for $299 each. The deal is currently only available to the U.S. market, and it is unclear whether any of the other podcast titles will be part of the same agreement. They're saying our relationship with Amazon is pivotal to Popcast's overall strategy in bringing a growing roster of mobile titles to the ever-widening base of smartphone users. That is from Giordano Bruno Contestabile.
That is some name.
Yes, he's the PopCap's Senior Director of Global Product and Business Strategy for Mobile. He says, by making these titles available on the Android platform, we'll significantly extend the reach of our top franchises to legions of new mobile customers and gaming fans alike. He said, PopCap is a brand synonymous with great mobile games, and we're thrilled to offer our customers Chuzzle and Plants vs. Zombie for Android exclusively through the Amazon App Store. That's from Aaron Rubinson, who's the category leader over at Amazon. In its short time, Amazon's App Store has proven surprisingly controversial following a legal dispute with Apple over the name and accusations from the IGDA, that's the International Game Developers Association, that its terms for developers are unfair. Somebody's always mad at somebody. This is the year of scrapping. It just is.
Apparently.
All right, we got time for one more. Did you got one more in you, didn't you?
One more? Yes, I do have one more in me, yes. The Witcher 2, Assassins of Kings Digital Premium Edition arrives at GOG.com, DRM-free. The heavily anticipated sequel of CD Projekt Red's debut, The Witcher, is now available without any DRM at thegog.com. GOG.com has CD Projekt's The Stupendous Service for Superlative DRM-Free Classic PC Games is now offering a new AAA title from their sister company, CD Projekt Red. The Witcher 2 Assassins of Kings Digital Premium Edition has arrived, and the wait for the most anticipated RPG of the year is finally over. The Witcher 2 Assassins of Kings is a role-playing game based on the books by famous Polish fantasy author Andrzej Sapkowski, starring a witcher named Geralt of Rivia. After studying the rebellion in the Kingdom of Temeria and saving King Polstis's life, in the second part of the game, Geralt and the king are on their mission to bring peace to the island. Who and what Geralt will encounter in his quest, gamers will have to see for themselves. Thanks to the gorgeous new engine developed wholly in-house, the game provides one of the most beautiful and lively worlds ever created in an RPG. The game has been released with all of GOG.com's principles in mind. It is not burdened with any DRM and comes with all sorts of additional materials like the full soundtrack, a game guide, wallpapers, and a 200-page art book that is exclusive to GOG.com's digital edition. The digital distribution service also made sure that none of its users, no matter where they live, will find the pricing unfair because of different price points in varying regions of the world with their fair price package. What is the fair price package? While the worldwide price of The Witcher 2 on GOG.com is $49.99 USD, it is $49.99 little C character, whatever that is, cookies, for customers paying in euros, which makes the game $16 USD more expensive. And it's $69.99 AUD for Australian customers, which makes it $26 USD more. Thanks to GOG's fair price package, Europeans will receive $16 USD store credit, and Australians will get $26 USD worth of store credit to spend on good old games. Everyone who pre-ordered The Witcher 2 Assassins of Kings Digital Premium on GOG.com and haven't yet finalized the deal has time until the 31st of May. All pre-orders who haven't paid for the game by then will have their order canceled. To buy the game now, you can visit GOG.com.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is all she wrote. So we're going to take you out with a little GLaDOS because Ginger loves her.
GLaDOS? Is GLaDOS on me again?
Yep.
Here we are again. It's always such a pleasure. Remember when you tried to kill me twice?
I always gotta be on me, GLaDOS.
Oh, how we laughed and laughed. Except I wasn't laughing until the circumstances have been shockingly nice.
I will be trying to
ask
you guys for the
Okay.
Let me lower the music while we go out.
Uh-oh, I think I've lost it. I've lost it.
Uh-oh, did you lose it?
Oh, no, here it is. They would like to know about your shepherd.
About my shepherd?
Yes. It's from not BBC. You'll have to go check out the Twitter group to get the whole question. I just gave you a little tidbit of it.
Not my shepherd. What the hell are they talking about?
I don't know. We're out of here. Say bye-bye, Ginger.
Bye-bye, Ginger.
Good freak. You know, freaks are always good, but still freaks.